Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 115. Thanks for coming along. It's the week of December 17th, 2010. And I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. I'm a little bit under the weather and haven't been feeling that good here lately. But I did manage to run a 10K this past weekend, which I'm going to talk about in the show. I've had a kind of an unusual head cold. And my voice has been really hoarse, which you can probably tell. But I'm going to get through the show anyway, because I've been wanting to put a show out and talk about this really cool 10K I ran this past weekend. AshlynDave@gmail.com gets you in to the inner circle of the podcast. If you want to send me an email, let me know what you're up to in reference to distance running, any cool races that you've done, or just any general positive comments on the show, send that to AshlynDave@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to share that with other listeners. And it's really cool when I hear from people all over the world, which I haven't lately. I've just been hearing from people in the U.S., but I have gotten emails from people all over the world, and it's always really neat to find out where people listen to the podcast on this great planet of ours. So, anyway, just a quick couple, if you're a new listener, just a couple of quick things about me. I'm a ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody who has never won anything, and I'll never qualify for the Boston Marathon. But I do enjoy distance running, everything from 5Ks to ultramarathons, but not necessarily everything in between. And if you're a new listener, you'll find that this is a very simple podcast. I do no research. Basically, I just kind of talk for as long as I can and try to keep it in between 30 and 40 minutes. And it's a simple podcast, like I said, with no real research being done. And I'm not knocking those podcasts where they do research on stuff, because I just don't have the time to do it. I'm interested in doing it. I just don't have the time. Sometimes I'm literally just trying to squeeze in the show. I usually have plenty to say. I just don't always have the time to produce the show. So if you listen to this show, then you're in a very small elite group of people who listen to the show each week. So if those kind of things interest you, then stick around because the next 30 minutes or so hopefully will be pretty interesting in reference to some of the things I've been up to in reference to my distance running. I did, on Thanksgiving Day, I did put together an unofficial turkey trot 5K with the optional 10K, and this was in honor of Tom Grant, who was out of town. And Tom Grant's been a regular running partner of mine for several years. He lives locally here, and he went out of town, and he wanted to keep the tradition alive, so we had the Tom Grant's fourth annual unofficial turkey trot here in the center of the universe. But the course was a little short from 5K. It was really cool. We had probably 30 plus people come out. It's really, there's really nothing to it. We did manage to get a race clock donated for the event from Bill Webb at Richmond Roadrunners. And thank you, Bill, so much. I don't think you listened to the show, but I appreciate it anyway. Excuse me. I'll be coughing quite a bit here in the show. We had a great turnout, and the presence of kind of an official race clock kind of ups the ante a little bit. Tom came up with the course, and I think what happened was we missed a turn because the 5K came up to about 2.8 miles, which obviously was short. And when the people were coming in, at least the winner, when the winner came in, he obviously had a very good finishing time. And it was at that point that we realized that the course was short. I measured it. I went out to think the next day and ran, and it did come up a little bit short. But we had several participants that did the 5K and several that did the 10K, and we had, I think, runners from as young as 14 all the way up to, I think we had a couple guys in their 60s. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of locals. No prizes. It was just kind of a chance for some people to get together and go out for a run and make it seem, and it was bring your own bib. And we had some extras from the railroad run last year, so it was kind of neat that, you know, it was basically a fake race, if you know what I mean. We just kind of faked it. I mean, nobody. I think I did write down the finishing times, but they were unofficial. The whole thing was unofficial. And matter of fact, the times are still sitting on a clipboard in my car. But anyway, Tom, you'd be proud of us. We had a great time. And I guess if I really wanted to, I could go out to the car and get the clipboard, but it's actually snowing right now in Ashland, and I don't really feel like doing that. But what I really want to talk about, excuse me, in this show is the Powhatan Christmas Tree 10K, which was last weekend, and it was a fabulous race, in my opinion. It was on December 11th, and Powhatan is named after King Powhatan, and it's Powhatan County, which it runs to the north of the Richmond, Virginia area. And if you're not familiar with where Richmond, Virginia is, Richmond is the capital of Virginia, and it's centrally located. Ashland being 20 miles to the north of Richmond approximately, and then Powhatan being to the west of Richmond, two counties over, bordered by the James River on the north, Chesterfield County on the east, I think Cumberland County on the west, and I'm thinking it's Amelia County in the south. And it's mostly a rural county, and the race was to benefit the Powhatan Christmas Mother Program and the Powhatan High School Cross Country Team. If you're not familiar with what the Christmas Mother Program is, it's generally the same around this area. Each county and locality kind of has their own, and it's to benefit the needy people and the less fortunate in each community. And this race was to benefit that program. And after the race, the race director said that $2,500 was raised to benefit Powhatan Christmas Mother, which I thought was pretty good. I mean, that's a lot of money to benefit a program for needy folks. I don't really know how many people live in Powhatan, but I know it's not nearly as many that live where I live. So I think $2,500 will be will work out a lot for their program. But this was a true cross-country trail race. And the reason it was called Christmas Tree 10K was that the majority of the race went through a Christmas tree farm, which I thought was a pretty good idea. And it was very scenic. And I remember when I first saw this race advertised, I read that it was going to be a scenic race through a Christmas tree farm with some rolling hills. I kind of thought, well, you know, Powhatan County, how scenic can it be? I mean, it's not mountainous or anything. But I was surprised, delightfully surprised on how scenic the race was, and I'll get to that here in a minute. But like I said, it was a true cross-country trail race. About the first half to three-quarters of a mile was around the athletic complex of the high school, which is where the race started, down near the football field where they have the track, which was good for a central place, but they had the field house opened for the men, for the bathroom. You know, you don't need porta-johns if you're having something by a high school. And, I mean, it was like two stalls and a urinal for you know, 200, I don't know how many guys. And there was this big, long line out the door. I thought it was kind of crazy. And, you know, one guy, and I'm not trying to offend the ladies out there, but, you know, there's a big, long line for the men's room. And somebody said, what, is this the ladies' room or something? You know, because there's always long lines for the ladies' room at races. I don't understand. I don't understand why they didn't open up the spectator restrooms. Anyway, so I got outside about 3 minutes before the race started. But anyway, and I'll be jumping around a little bit as I describe the race. So the first half to three-quarters of a mile was kind of through the athletic complex. Not bad, because there was a lot of people there, and you really needed to thin the crowd, the group out, the racers, before you hit the trail, which was going to be pretty much single file. It was kind of hard to pass. It wasn't total single track. It was maybe two people wide kind of thing, but it was still hard to pass because somebody had raked the trail. I mean, these volunteers went to a lot of work, I think, to get this trail ready. And you really didn't know where you were running if you didn't stay on the part that was raked. But once the course went into the woods, it went over a road which clearly left the school property, and then it traveled through this Christmas tree farm. I wish I knew the name of it. I just don't know the name of it off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up or go back on the internet and look it up. And then it went around by a large pond or a lake, depending on what you think a pond or a lake should look like. I thought this was a very large pond, because some lakes are really big, but other people would call it a lake. It was big enough where you could, you know, take a canoe out on and probably enjoy a couple hours because it was big enough for that. And it was really cool because, you know, with no leaves on the trees, you could see the whole trail of runners tracked around this lake or this pond and going up through the rolling hills, through the woods. And it was just kind of, and of course, from somebody like me, that shows me how far back I am from everybody. But it was really neat to see all the runners stretched out, and I thought that was really cool. And the best thing about this race, in my opinion, was that it wasn't really an out and back. I mean, you knew it was going to be an out and back because you knew that you were going to start at the school, you knew you were going to run through the Christmas tree farm, and you knew you were going to come back to the school. But what they did, and obviously these kids that run across country out there know all these trails out there, they brought you back a slightly different way, which was just different enough to make it interesting. And you knew you were going to have to go through the rolling hills under these power lines. You knew you were going to have to do a couple climbs coming off of the area where the pond was, but you didn't really go back the exact same way. It was, you know, it was really marked well. It was a little weird that they had, I think, four water stations for a 10K, and then at the end they only had one water cooler for all the runners. So it was a real long line for that. But, you know, those are just little things. This was an inaugural race. Those are little things that can be tweaked, and I'm not being critical about that. It's just observations that I made, and that's one of the purposes of this podcast is just to talk about observations I make during running events. So, like I said, it was just different enough to not really, well, you didn't really dread the previous hills that you ran, knowing that you had to do those on the way back because it was slightly different. So you kind of dreaded the different hills because it was hilly, and that's when I realized that I was not hill trained whatsoever. I mean, I did have to walk. I still came in under an hour, and I'll talk about my finishing time here in a little bit. Because finishing under an hour is pretty good for me in a 10K, being that I'm 200 plus pounds. All right, I've kind of lost track here a little bit. I made some notes for this show, and I can't even read my own writing. Okay, so why did I do this race in the first place? Well, one of the big draws to this race was that it was kind of a Team Incognita reunion of sorts. One of the girls on the team named Nicole had kind of thrown it out there. Or no, John King had thrown it out there. Just wanted to see if anybody wanted to do it. And then he said he wasn't sure if he could, but, you know, he was just making sure people knew about it. And then I said I was in because I was looking at it anyway, even if we didn't do it as a team event. And we entered as a team, which I'll get to in a few minutes, what happened with that. excuse me. That'll continue on for the remainder of the show. Sorry, it's just the way it is. When Nicole kind of grabbed the whole thing by the horns and just signed up our whole team, and I think we had 7 or 8 people signed up for our team, and the way the team competition worked was they took the top three, combined those scores for male team, female team, and then what they called the co-ed team. And all I know is that when you're out of college, nothing's co-ed anymore. It's just mixed. It's mixed gender, I guess, is the way to put it. It's just funny they call it co-ed because that's kind of a high school, college term. But Nicole did a great job putting everything together. I'm not really sure what she put down for my address or my date of birth, but she registered everybody. We just paid her later. We had several of the TI founders there, John King, Kelly, Nicole, Megan, me, Dana, and then some of the other TI people there were Amy, which is Nicole's sister, and then Matt, and then possibly a newbie, Val, who finished the Richmond Marathon this year, and then, of course, Jeff, who's Megan's boyfriend. Now, I got to say a couple things about Jeff before I go any further. I'm not sure if Jeff listens to the podcast or not. I think Megan does, but I'm not sure if Jeff does. But I've only met Jeff on a couple occasions. I met him at the Cul-de-Sac Series last year. Talented runner, very fast. He's about my age, a little younger, but he's much faster than me and in much better shape. But anyway, Jeff was asking me if I was going to be podcasting at the race, and I told him I wasn't. And I'm not sure if he was making fun of me or not. And if you were, I don't know if you listened to the show, but if you were making fun of me, I got it. I picked up on that. But if you were not making fun of me, then I'm sorry that I thought you might have been making fun of me. Because I had actually thought about coming out and bringing out my podcast machine and doing a podcast from the race. But then I decided against it in case it was windy and then he'd just get a bunch of trash material. So I'm not really sure if you were making fun of me or not. If you were, then I got the joke. But if you were not making fun of me, I'm sorry I disappointed you. So I just wanted to say that about Jeff. Ended up talking to Jeff after the race, sitting next to him when we had lunch and a few beers, and really ended up liking the guy a lot. And he's pretty funny. I just hadn't gotten a chance to get to know him before. And it turns out I like him a lot. He's a real nice guy. And he came in first in his age group for 38 to 42. I think he ran, 44 minutes and something. Maybe something less than that. Really tore it up. And anyway, he's one of the ones that I think he was really going to be one of the better times in our finishing group, because I know mine was not one of the top three in our group. It was actually Jeff, Matt, and Kelly. And Kelly got in about a minute or so ahead of me. And I'm going to talk about my finishing time here in a minute, because the official finishing time they have for me is not the finishing time that was on the clock when I crossed the finish line. And I'll get to that in a second. So anyway, Jeff was there. It was good to talk to him. Anyway, Nicole took care of all that, and I had a little bit of a panic attack, not a panic attack, but a little bit of piece of worriness, I guess, on my way down there, because it was about a 35-minute drive to the race from my house. When I was driving down there, I realized that I never filled out any registration forms or anything. I just told Nicole I was interested in doing it, I'm in, sign me up, and I started thinking, well, gosh, what if for some reason we were supposed to sign up ourselves, and then when we signed up, say what team we were on, and then we would just give her the money. I'm not sure. So I started thinking, well, maybe I should get some more money before I get to the race in case I have to register on race day and it's more than $20, which is what I had already in cash to give Nicole. I didn't want to, you know, miss out or anything. So I actually went to an ATM on my way down there, but it wouldn't take my bank card. It's not that I didn't have money in my account. It just wouldn't take it. And then I just decided to chance it, and I saw her in the parking lot on the way in, and everything was just fine. So I ran the race, did great, started with Kelly, tried to keep up with her for most of it. When we came up one hill, and we chatted a little bit, and then when we came out of a hill coming up off the lake or the pond, it was just a little too steep for me to maintain my pace, and I just fell back and kind of power walked it up, and by that point, I couldn't stay with Kelly anymore, and so then I just kind of did my own pace. I was kind of running too fast with her. She runs just a little bit too fast for me to consistently stay at that pace on terrain. If it was on the road, I think I might be able to stay up with her, but she's just like 1 to 2 seconds faster pace than I can hold, than I can maintain long term, and I think, you know, eventually it starts to catch up to me, and I just can't quite make it. So I didn't stay with her, and then she finished in 58 minutes. And I forgot to tell you that the race does one, like a 3/4 of a lap on the track to finish, which I thought was really cool. I don't think I've ever finished a race on a track before, so I thought that was cool. And they had the finishing clock. And when I entered the track, I saw that it was 58 minutes and something on the clock, and I knew I could get in under an hour. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to because my Garmin had malfunctioned, and I had just given up on having an official time on my watch. So I kind of cranked it out, and I came across the finish line at 59:42. Well, tonight, before I started the podcast, I looked to see if the race results were online, and they finally were on the Richmond Roadrunners website, and it had me down for 59:55. And I just don't know how that's possible when it said 59:42 on the clock. Now, I do know for a fact when you do a race, the official time is not necessarily the clock. It's actually the little device that's on the little podium next to the person who's doing the clicker when you come across the finish line, because that's what you start at the start. Now, this was a Canon start. They had some junior ROTC group up on the mountain of this football stadium, and they blew this Canon up. And my guess is that they didn't start the actual time clock at the same time. Or what you can do is actually start it's called a time machine. You can start the time machine, and then you can go start the clock and you can get them to sync themselves. You can actually set the clock at a certain time. And I think they messed it up, and that's by, 13 seconds. That's the 13-second difference, which would obviously, say, for example, It was more than 13 seconds difference, and then it turns out my official time was 1 hour and 1 second. I'd be very disappointed if the clock at the race said 59:50 or something like that, knowing I broke an hour on the finishing clock, but then on the official results, which is not reflective of the finishing clock. You have to understand it's reflective of the time machine, which is started at the time the start is. You know, you wouldn't have been under an hour. That would have been very disappointing. So I was a little disappointed about that. But, you know, being that I've got a little bit of experience at the finish line now, it is difficult to do a finish line. It's definitely not something that's easy. So that'd be one of the only complaints I would have. Now, another interesting thing about this race is they had way too many trophies on the table, and it took them forever to hand out the trophies. Our team waited for over an hour to see if we had gotten anything in a team competition, which turns out we didn't. But we waited out there in the cold, and they kept giving out these trophies, and then they'd stop and do out some more raffle. And it was kind of neat that our team won 2 gift certificates to the Capitol Ale House, which is where we're going to meet for lunch anyway. So we got some money knocked off of our lunch. I don't think I'm going to last too much longer here before I get to the email bag. So let's just say that the Powhatan Christmas Tree 10K inaugural race was a success, had a great time. And I probably already said this before, but the best thing about the race was just really seeing everybody from my old running group and catching up with them and meeting some new people, which is what it's all about also, and just having fun, you know, enjoying running. The weather was good. I wore shorts, and people made fun of me for wearing shorts, but I did see other people wearing shorts. And one guy was actually wearing a singlet, but he was not the winner. We all kind of joked that he would win. Anybody that shows up in 35 degrees or whatever it was with a singlet on is obviously going to run faster than I am. So that's the race report from the Powhatan Christmas Tree 10K. And let's move on to the email bag section of the show. All right, this is the email bag section of the show. And several regulars checked in, and I always appreciate that. AshlandDave@gmail.com gets you into the email bag section of the show. It's AshlandDave@gmail.com. I heard from Kevin out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Kevin had some computer problems, and that's probably why I didn't hear back from him. I sent him some of the blister foot photos, kind of like Bigfoot, but it's blister foot. And he said his daughter really liked the photos because she's got an iron stomach, but he almost lost his lunch. They're healed now. Kevin, you said they might have been second or third degree burn. You know, I don't know how blisters, you know, friction burns, how they equate to heat or fire burns. Because, you know, fire burns sometimes don't heal back, real bad ones. They just scar. And I will say that when I saw my feet after, I know I talk about this in almost every show because it was probably the most traumatic incident I've ever had as a runner. Even that counts getting chased by dogs. I was afraid that had done something permanent to it looked that bad, or they'd have to, you know, shave off a bunch of skin from my hiney or something and put it on the bottom of my foot. I had worried, but anyway, Kevin, good to hear from you as always, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to send the email. Let's go to the next one here. I'm trying to do these while I'm online. I heard from Mandy, and Mandy is going to be, has agreed to be interviewed about the Keys 100, which will that podcast will be recorded the last week of December when I'm off all that week, and I'll be getting with her, probably do it through TalkShoe. And then a show after that, after I put all the material together, is going to be all about the Keys 100 race, which is on May 14th. And then I think it's in its 5th year. Is that right, Mandy? And Mandy's been involved with the race every year since its inception. And she's familiar with the race director. And she's going to tell me everything I want to know, even the things I forgot to... What is it? Everything you need to know but forgot to ask about the Keys 100. So... Mandy, look forward to that, and we will talk to you in a few weeks and get that all worked out. Really looking forward to that. Heard from Sandra, and Sandra has she's a 50-mile finisher, and she's going to send me a free sticker for my car that has a 50 on it. And it's kind of fitting, Sandra, that the 50s, the 5-0 sticker. So anyway, I do appreciate that. I sent you my address, so hopefully I'll be looking for that. That'll be a nice little Christmas present, because I used to have a 50 sticker on my car that's starting to, well, I still do, but it's starting to peel. It's one that I bought at the, I didn't buy it. I had it specially made up for the North Face finishing race. I heard from Adam over at the boringrunner.com. That's his blog. I hadn't heard from him in a little while, but he's a regular listener. It's really good to hear from him. He liked the barbershop special episode podcast. He doesn't really go to an actual barbershop. He said he goes to Sport Clips. And he also literally laughed out loud when I was talking about there's a place where I think you can get a Brazilian in the back where they don't speak English. And there's a lot more. That's a very loaded statement, which I'll just leave at that. Anyway, Adam had his wife had a son on December 2nd, so congratulations to you. And yeah, that is a big change, Adam. And it's funny, after a period of time, you'll, at least I found this to be true in my life, you'll forget what it was like before you had kids. So congratulations to you. The rest of your life has now started. Heard from Dr. Smitty, and Dr. Smitty is he'd been running a couple races down in the Chesapeake area where he lives, and his son, who's 12, did his first double-digit run and just crushed it. So, Greg, that's well done. Nice staying in touch with you. Hopefully you get through your through the winter and get some exercise and get some mileage out there. I know you're not doing the Seashore Nature Trail run this weekend, but if for some reason you happen to run into Tom and that clan, just give him my best. And hopefully you get back to and crush. I'm guessing you're going to be doing Shamrock. I'm not sure if you are. I think you'll have to train through the winter. I'm not sure if you're going to be doing that or not. But I appreciate the emails as always. It's good to hear from you. Christina checked in from Arizona, and she told me I needed to check out episode 246 of Steve Runner's podcast, which is for Dipidations, if you don't know about that. Steve is kind of the godfather of running podcasts, and I was very inspired by his, and he kept saying you need to go out and do your own podcast, so I finally decided to start one, and that was a couple years ago. While I don't have the following that he has, I think I have the same quality of listeners, and so I've always appreciated people that take the time to send me emails. But Christina specifically was telling me that episode 246 of Fidipidations is about PodCamp, kind of like BandCamp, you know, this one time at PodCamp, and she said it was really interesting. What I did is I looked up that episode, and it's over an hour long. So what I'm going to do is load that up on my iPod, Christina, when I do my next solo long run and listen to that. And I really do appreciate you calling my attention to that. And the reason is because I do subscribe to it. It's just that his podcasts have gotten so long, I don't always listen to them. I kind of pick and choose the ones that I listen to, because his is usually an hour. So actually, I'm surprised I didn't pick that one out, because it would be interesting to listen to. But anyway, sounds like you've already listened to it, and I do appreciate you you calling that out to me. Very nice. Okay, the next one is here. I heard from David Williams out of Mechanicsville, and congratulations to him. He is a new member of the Marathon Maniacs, number 3152. He ran the Richmond Marathon in November, and then he ran the North Central Trail Marathon last, the weekend after Richmond, which was two marathons in 16 days, which apparently that gets him in. I thought it was two in 2 weeks, but maybe, anyway. he said something like he's doing a Christmas Eve run from the University of Richmond. I won't see you there, Dave. We are doing I'm on call for Christmas Eve. Till 8 o'clock Christmas Eve morning. And then I think I'm doing a local little elves run here. There's a new coffee shop here in town called the Station Cafe. We're trying to support that, and we're going to do a little Christmas run out of that. I hate to do that, because I know my buddy Crash Kreider is doing some kind of half marathon over in his part of town, part of Richmond. So anyway, I know I'm kind of rambling, but anyway, David, nice to hear from you, and congratulations on another county award you got too. Forgot to mention a second ago, I had a second email from Christina, and we've got an ongoing discussion going on about sweaty feet. And she gave me a bunch of terminology in the email that I can't pronounce. And Christina, I appreciate those ideas. I'm going to definitely look into those. But essentially, she says that It's good to spray your feet with antiperspirant a few days. This was on a backpacking site that she looked at. It says, spray your feet with any, this is for real sweaty feet like I've got. Spray your feet with antiperspirant for a few days before the hike, twice a day. Christina did that. She's right guard. It worked well for her. That's not a bad idea. And I wonder if that works. She said it worked well for her. And wow. I wonder if antiperspirant will work for running and will, you know, get rid of the moisture so it's not in that deadly triangle of the moisture, heat, and friction. Anyway, it's something to really think about. My cough is coming back, as you can tell. Anyway, Christina, I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Let's see. I think that is it. The next one here is just an old email from Mandy, which I've kept in my inbox here. Because we're going to go over questions for the podcast. So that's pretty much it for this week, coming in right around just over 30 minutes. Now, I don't want to get all philosophical on you here, but I do have a message. You know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Holidays. That's a given, right? But I want to just kind of throw out, you know, we're on the dawn of a new year, and with new years come, you know, new goals and planning. And if you've never run a marathon, if you've ever thought about it, it's 2011 your year to cross the marathon finish line. It's definitely a huge undertaking, but the reward is just unbelievable. I mean, here I am several marathons later, and it's still just as exciting as it was the first time. I mean, I'm already planning out my marathons for the spring to get me up to that 50 miler, which is going to be a great thing if I can finish that in May. Anyway, I was watching Jerry Maguire the other night, and that guy Rod, whatever his name is, the Show Me the Money guy, Cuba Gooding, he was obviously playing for the Arizona Cardinals. He's in the locker room, and up behind him on the wall there was a sign that said, a positive anything is better than a negative nothing. And I think that's a pretty good quote, because it's very positive. And anyway, just something to think about. A positive anything is better than a negative nothing. And it's in fact, I liked it so much I wrote it down so I could just put it in the podcast. And of course, it goes without saying that winners never quit and quitters never win. That's probably one of my most favorite lines I've ever heard. So anyway, that's it for the show this week. Got several friends running the Seashore Nature Trail 50K this weekend down in Chesapeake. I wish them luck. Tom, John King, Shannon, Rob Manolo, and I think that's everybody I know that's running that. That's a pretty good race put on by Tidewater Striders. And I'll be back in a couple weeks with another podcast. This is Ashland Dave, and I am in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week. We'll be right back.